Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hi, all of you beautiful Louisiana people, huh? I've never met you before. I saw your hand up. Where have you been hiding my whole life, huh? And this guy over here, come on, bro, finally, huh? So it's so good to meet you. I had my son here for 2 years, my Adam. And I don't know what you did with that guy, but you turned him into a redneck hillbilly, skinning squirrels in the morning, eating raccoon for evening. I mean, what did you do with that guy? It's just, I mean, some of you are thinking that I'm offending you now. This is complimenting, okay? I've never liked these domesticated, you know, skinny jeans people in New York City anyhow. So sending my son to Louisiana, you manned him up. Come on, somebody. So it's just awesome. And he is now at the university in Florida, and they actually believe that he's from Louisiana. They say he have a Louisiana accent. So that's amazing. And this time I came alone. Normally I'm coming with Maria, the girl that I've been hanging out with for the last 30 years, married 27. Whew, she's still a hottie. She's just an awesome girl. And I'm going to fill you in a little bit about my life story. But first, I just wanted to honor your pastor's couple here. I love you guys like family, even though I'm whooping you in cards. But that's out of love. That's out of love. Tonight, you got your chance again. You know, I came in here and peed my territory like a lion. And then he just rose up, you know, he just rose up and said, enough. This is my area here. So he whipped me yesterday night twice, but let's go tonight again, huh? So they are family to me, and so are you, right? Even if I meet you for the first time, isn't it amazing with the family of God? Isn't that awesome? I mean, I didn't grow up in church, so I've not come to the point where I take this for granted. This is amazing. Wherever you come in the world, or, you know, whatever background you have, you're just family in a second. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that tremendous? Just have to, come on, can we give a clap for the Church of the Living God? Come on! Huh? All right. So I've spent my life in Africa. I'm an African nowadays. If you're thinking that I will go a little wild here, if I go a little wild and crazy, you should know I'm restraining myself. I know I am in America. I will try to preach with a seatbelt on. But if that seatbelt just burst all of a sudden, just turn to your neighbor and say, you know, he's an African, you know, you can't. All right? So that's what it, okay. And I have a little title today that I've tried to work on, Walking with God. Walking with God. You see, I grew up non-Christian. Come from a miner's family down in South Austria. Blue collar, working class, as you would say. We would drink beers, pick a fight, drink more beers, pick a fight, play cards, drink beers, pick a fight. That's pretty much my upbringing. That sums it all together. And then I met with Jesus. I got radically saved and fell in love with Jesus. And my life really started. You know, there was no life before really, but then life really took off. So I don't like to tell a lot of stories from the old. I like to tell stories from now, because life was so boring before, but now life is awesome. And I came through Teen Challenge. How many of you know what that is? It's a kind of a rehab center. Came in there, a mess up. I'm still a mess up, by the way. I'm still a misfit, but it's a little better now. But came in there, and they gave me Jesus. And my mentor in that place was from Kenya in East Africa. And I fell in love with Africa right there. I think, you know, God has a way of setting us up, isn't it? It's a way of setting us up. So that guy took care of me. He was my first daddy. Came with chai, which is a Kenyan form of tea mixed with milk, and came with chai every night, and he read the Bible for me, and fell in love with Kenya and Africa, and the Holy Spirit brought me there. And walking with God. Are you guys ready? Huh? So in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, God says to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Let's just start right there. Your life is not before people. Told in the first service here, you know, when I told my relatives that my new Christian girlfriend now, I don't have sex with her, they were just laughing at me. No one believed me. You know what I'm saying? No one believed me. But, and I said to Maria, you know, it doesn't really matter what they think or what they assume. This was never between them and us anyhow. This is between us and God. You know, my grandmama and my aunt, they were just laughing at me. They really thought I was telling fairy tales. But it was something that had come into our lives where we finally wanted to do things right because we had a relationship with someone. You see, I hate when church becomes a set of rules and regulations and impressing one another. Don't you agree with me? We have a covenant of grace and faith. We're not walking according to that. We walk according to something in here. Purity is between you and God, isn't it? Purity is something that you... So walk before me and be blameless, God said to Abraham. And then in Judges chapter 13, I'm just introducing here, Judges chapter 13, verse 25, it says about Samson. How many of you remember the guy that never grew up?
if you read Judges, he's awesome, isn't he?
He's just, I don't know, I can relate to him. And we can kill 1,000 people with a donkey jaw. You know, I somehow can relate to this guy. And he, it says about him that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manedan between Sora and Eshtaol. I don't know how you say this in English. Neither do you. That's so awesome that we're all in the same boat here with the Hebrew names, right? So he was stirred and the Lord began to stir him. I don't know if you can't remember when the Holy Spirit started to stir you the first time. I was not even a Christian when that happened to me. I was on a railway station in northern Germany, had a terrible hangover that morning. I blew up on a prostitute that tried to sell herself to me. And I was very mean to her, very mean to her. And then I just stood there and I looked over the people in that railway station. And all of a sudden I hear this voice. One day you will have a message for all of these people here. And I knew by my intuition that this is God. God is speaking to me. So I said, hey, whoa, I'm not a church boy. Don't give me anything. So that was like, and I tried to run from it. But you know, even if you make your bed in hell, what does the Bible say? His hand is there too, isn't it? No matter where you go. So I really tried, and I tried to commit suicide. And then I heard that voice again, and I tried all kinds of stuff in my younger days. But then I finally just surrendered and gave up, and God invaded my life and saved me and changed me and transformed me. And I give all the glory to the Lord for that, all the glory. And then I remember as a young believer, I was in the car one time. This was up in Scandinavia, you know, it's like Alaska. And I was driving in the dark, and all of a sudden, I just hear this voice. Stop your car, there's a moose on the road. And I didn't respond immediately, so then I just heard this voice yelling on my inside. So I slammed the brakes of the car, you know, just got that car to stop. And I had not even seen it. There was a big moose bull just standing right in front of me, just a few meters from the car. I would have run right into that one. I mean, you know, moose bulls up there, 1,500 pounds, right? So there would have been nothing left of me. And I was just sitting there, heart beating out of my chest. And I was just thinking, what just happened to me? I was saved by some kind of an inner GPS here, you know? How many of you know what I'm saying? I mean, FBI doesn't have a chance to the intel. We have. Come on, some people. We got some intel. So there was just something. Oh, what did just happen to me? And that moose looked at me and I looked at him. And I was just driving home that night thinking, God saved me. Then he started stirring me. And the next morning, I got up late, and for the young people here, I went to buy a newspaper. We actually bought newspapers those days, which I said in the first service. It sounds like I grew up in the Stone Age, but I grew up when there were no cell phones. We read newspapers. And okay, so I went to buy a newspaper, and I, as I'm sitting in my car, in an old junk car, and you know, had to start that. At the Y, I started every morning. You know what I'm saying? Everyone, I don't know how many police officers that walked up to me and asked if I'd stolen that car. No, huh? You know, this is actually my car. It was a new thing. Salvation comes with all the new things, you know? So, anyhow, I'm driving in this car, and then I hear this voice again. And now I'm alert. Take to the right. Go to the left. And I can't remember, but I was guided in to a community. And all of a sudden, park your car in front of the house. Walk in through the garage. And I said, no. I'm a Christian. I've done that before. We're not doing that. So walk in through that. But I opened up the garage door, walked in through that garage. Can you imagine? There's another door. Open it up in a long hallway. And I'm sneaking in through that hallway. I mean, and I'm still hearing the voice. Open up the door. So I open up the door. And when I open up the door, there's a woman sitting there just about to commit suicide. And I mean, I went down on my knees like this because, you know, obviously I was scaring her. I opened up that door. So I went down on my knees like this and I walked up to her like this. I said, I want no harm. I've not broken into your house. I was in my car. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And I hear this voice that I should take a right and left and should park in front of going. And hey, God loves you. Don't hurt yourself. And she just dropped the thing she had in her hand and just threw her hands up in the air and said, God, you exist. God, you exist. She'd been praying to God that if you exist, send someone. This is your last chance, huh? So I started walking with God. And my life became an adventure with God. And people always ask me, so what is your recipe to the big crowds? There are no techniques. You get that? I'm not a Pentecostal witch doctor. I don't know. You know that this. I have no techniques. There are no recipes. There is nothing like that. I'm walking with God. God is a friend of mine. I don't know how you grew up. I don't know if you always went to church or if you were ticked off by narrow-minded, hypocritical legalists. I don't know what you've gone through, but I can tell you this: to me, church is not about even impressing on you today. I want to please someone else here. This is about me and God. And then you happen to be in the room and maybe I can bless you, right? But that's my life. My life is with God. And I really want to take a stand here today and say, we have a new covenant, people. We're not in the old covenant. We have a new covenant based on grace, based on faith, based on the finished work of Jesus, right? So we walk according to something in here. And we have an intimate relationship with him. Huh? Ooh, I'm burning up on my inside, trying to hold back here. Okay. Yeah. Then I came to Africa, fresh out of Teen Challenge. I came to Dandora slums. If you don't know anything about that, Dandora slums is one of the big slum areas in Nairobi, the capital city of Kenya. And I came to Dandora where they were sniffing jet fuel, and kids were starving, and it was just a horrible area. And I was there with an old missionary, 85 years old, and he preached, and then he fainted one night. True story. Fainted on the platform. I mean, give the guy a break. 85 years old. Come on. But he shouted, Johannes, take the microphone, before he went out. And I jumped up on the platform and took the microphone, and I was just, you know, you take a fish off of dry land that is gasping for air, and you throw that fish into its right element. You know, that was how it was. I had no idea. I was born for this. So I grabbed that microphone, and there was just something on me. Boom! And I started preaching like a machine gun, like a maniac. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of my sermon, I just felt, there are two people down there I need to put my hands on. So I dropped my mic, jumped off the platform like a bobcat. Can you see me? So, going after my prey, putting my hands on these two women that were in the middle of the crowd, and they were witch doctors. I had no idea what a witch doctor was at that time. And they went to the ground, foaming at the mouths, man voices coming out of their, you know, mouths and screaming and shaking as the demons left them. And I got up on stage again, and I was just in the zone. How many of you know what I'm saying? Boom! And people started coming out of wheelchairs. Stuff happened. I was 22. 22. And I just stepped out into something, and before I knew it, I was preaching in mega churches all over Africa. I was holding festivals with tens of thousands of people and then 100,000 of people. And you ask me, if you ask me, how did this come about? I don't know. I just know I'm walking with God. I walk every day is an adventure. It's hard for an Austrian German like me. We're kind of square in our minds. We have our checklists and stuff, and we want to work organized, right? But I can tell you this, if you organize your life too much, you're destroying your walk with God. If everything needs to go according to a schedule, every time God busts into my schedule, that's when things get excited. That's when things happens. When things doesn't go, you see, COVID, everyone say, oh, we can't plan, we can't do. COVID has been the best year almost of our lives because we have gotten to do stuff that we had not planned to do. And God has opened up amazing doors. I've preached for national television all over Africa. I've been in so many meetings that I would have never had chance to do or had time to do. And I got to hunt 4.5 months. that was a little. I know I wouldn't draw down on it. I thought actually I could get one hallelujah on that in Louisiana. But anyhow, am I too excited for you? Am I too on for you? Okay, Genesis chapter 5 speaks about a guy. In Genesis 5 from 18 to 20 speaks about a guy that we called Enoch, right? Enoch in English. Love this guy. Because most of the times when you read your Bible, people are known for something, right? There's Noah, Ark, Solomon, Temple. But Enoch is just known for one thing. He's known for walking with God. And you really got to think about your legacy, don't you? You and me got to think, what do we want to be remembered for? Do I want to be remembered for my festivals, for the church plants? No, not really. I want people to say that have met with me and been with me that guy knows God. Right? He knows God. Because it was never about what we accomplished for him in this covenant, right? We do things, but that is just out of the overflow of our relationship. But it was never about accomplishing things for him. It was about walking with him. So here's what I see when I read this. If you go down, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, I'm reading from verse 21 now, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. And Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more. Because God took him away. Interesting story, huh? I think Enoch, God was like this. They started. How many of you in here have been in love? Crazy in love. Come on. Come on. Just lift up a foot, you know. Crazy. When I was dating Maria, who's my wife now, we forgot about time. She was working as a nurse. I was working as a welder. How many of you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to go up 5:30, go to work, but all of a sudden you're out walking and it's 3:00 in the morning. How many of you remember? Huh? So we just had so much to talk about. We were so in love. I couldn't remember the next day what we talked about, right? But we just had so much to talk about. There was chemistry. There was love. And that's how it was with Enoch and God, I believe. So they walked together, and then God said, should we take a cup of tea? Yeah, Enoch said, it's closer to my flat. So they went to his flat. But then one day, you know, after 300 years of just walking together, they passed the Milky Way. They passed Pluto. They just kept on walking. And all of a sudden, God says, you know what, Enoch? It's closer to my flat today. Would you like to see it? Whoa, do I want to see it? And Enoch disappeared. That's, I believe, the story pretty much what, according to Johannes Amrit, so not according to the Gospel of John, but according to. So, walking with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not even experience death. You know, death is just a door in our timeline, anyhow, isn't it? Isn't it funny how we cry and how we cry and sob at funerals when we preach heaven? Isn't it funny that we think then it's the, no. That really shows how much you really believe in what you preach when it comes to a funeral. Then it's when it's exposed, you know. It's just a door on our no-ending timeline. From one dark room to a lighter room, isn't it? To a mobile. So he did not experience death. Wow. Jesus said, those that believe in me, right? What would they do? They will live even though they die. They will just keep on living. Living with God. Walking with God. So I'm so excited about this. I mean, here's a man with an unknown and unmarked grave. Can you see it? That's just typical of the Bible. Here's a guy that goes so much up in God that he disappears. And I want to be like that. When I was younger, I talked about me and me and me and me and everything God did in my life, right? And then hopefully now I've come to the point where I speak about at least, you know, it's God and me. God and me. But if I have the chance to get really old here on earth, there will probably come a day when you will hear me just speak about God. Right? That's the development. Walking with him. The ant and the elephant. Have you heard the story? We love this story in Africa. The ant and the elephant are the best of friends. They walk through the jungle. And the ant is sitting on the elephant's ear. And they come to this canyon or abyss. And there's this hanging bridge made of wood and ropes. And the ant says, shall we pass it? The elephant says, yeah, let's do it. And there's a silent minute in the jungle. How many of you know what I'm saying? Everything's just, man, the elephant is on the bridge. And it shakes, it squeaks, it screams. The dust is flying and there's just, will they make it over? When they come over to the other side, the whole jungle breaks out, you know, in standing ovations. They made it over. And the ant is saying to the elephant, man, did we make that bridge swing and shake or what? Come on. Wow. The elephant is looking at him. Yeah, we did. It's easy to be cocky when you're riding an elephant. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very easy to be cocky. That's a little bit how it is when I come after a festival into the hotel room and we've gathered 375 people over 5 nights, you know. See, you know, 375,000 people over 5 nights. And we've had the presidents, the prime minister came and speak at the, we went and had an audience with the president. Things just went nuts. Nuts. And then I go in front of God like this, and this is what I say to God. Man, did we make that bridge shake or what? Woo! Did we make that city shake or what? And he's just smiling at me like the elephant to the ant. Are you getting the picture? We are, you know, it was never about us. It was about him. Oh, I love him so much. Woo! I'm in love. I'm in love with him. I want the whole world to know how awesome he is. Walking with him is amazing. Oh, this life is so good. I'm about to explode. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died, it says there in Moab. And the Lord, he buried him. The Lord, God, buried him in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. I don't know if you get this story, but he was a national leader. He gave birth to a nation. He led 3 million people through the desert. He should have a state funeral. But God wanted all the fun for himself. He wanted to do all the singing, all the poem reading, you know, all the quoting of the scriptures, all the memories. He wanted to have the funeral for himself. And to this day, nobody knows his grave. Think about it. A president of a nation. Nobody knows his grave. Because God want to go there alone. And I don't know if you get this. I don't know if you, but this is so amazing. It says in the book of Numbers chapter 12 that when I reveal myself to a prophet, it's often through visions and dreams, but not so with Moses. With him I speak face to face and not in riddles. He's known in my household. I love the Lord. Oh, let's be face to face with him, talk to him, walk with him. Oh, so here's a guy who led a nation and God conducted his funeral and nobody knows where his grave is. You remember the guy who had a car sent for him, you know, the angelic limo service. That's another guy, right? Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 says that they were when they were walking along, he and Elisha, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated them. That's how we want to walk with God, until we're just taken by God. Oh, death, where is your sting? Paul says. But what can you do to me? Living is Christ. Dying is gain. You know, you can really expose someone's heart when they start to get, you know, the 30-year crisis, the 40-year crisis, the 50-year. I got to do everything now. Huh? Got to do everything now. Got to get everything done now. Got to really show that I still got it. And then they have an affair with, you know, someone or something happens, right? This is human. But you got to understand that since you were born again, you don't need to have any of those crises. Because you're just going on living. You're just going on living. You become younger and younger and stronger on your inside. You're just growing with God. You just go on living. This is just a blink. You are with God forever. Come on, somebody. You're with God forever. Whoo! The treasure is under your own pillow, we say in Africa. It was these two guys on a bus. And one of them had inherited after his mama. So there were bracelets and jewelry and a big bag. You know, in Africa, this is often what they inherit. It's something that they receive, something that is tangible, something that they carry with them. So he had this bag full of bracelets and jewelry and stuff. And the other guy was standing next to him, happened to, you know, look into his bag and saw it. So he was a little sneaky. He said, why don't we share a hotel room, you know, a motel room in the next town? Okay, yeah. Let's save some money. He wanted to steal the treasure. The guy was smart. He said, why don't you take a shower first, he said to the thief. And when he took the shower first, he hid the treasure under the thief's pillow. And then he went to take a shower. And the guy turned the room upside down, but he didn't look under his own pillow. And when the guy comes back in, he says, hey, the treasure has been under your own pillow the whole time. Isn't this what you were after? Picks it up and the guy runs out the room. This is a legendary sense moral story in Africa that when you are looking, are you hearing me now? The treasure is under your pillow the whole time. Are you hearing me now? When you're looking over the fence, when you're looking at other, when you hear other people's stories, you're thinking, well, I come from a town in the middle of nowhere in the Arkansas. You know, I come from Louisiana. You don't know where, you know, I'm a nobody. Hey, don't talk about yourself that way. You have the same faith I have, the same grace I have, the same finished work, the same covenant I have. Yeah, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. No, you are a welder. You're a mechanic, isn't it? You are a doctor. You're a lawyer. You're a school teacher. But you still can walk with God every day of your life. You don't need one boring day. Not one boring day. I love when people just, you know, what is the biggest story? This is ridiculous when we try to, you know, override one another. You know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know, come on. If God did a miracle for you in the school you're working, that is as big as a blind seeing in a festival in Africa. If God did a miracle with your company, right? All of a sudden you had 10 clients, you had no clients, but you'd been on your knees and you'd talked to your covenant God and God was answering that prayer and you don't know how it happened, but 10 clients walked in through the door. That's like a deaf hearing. Are you hearing me? That's like a dead being raised. You walk with God where you are at. Hey, you got to own your life. I have visited many, many head of states and they ask me, So who is Johannes Amritzer?
I was not to laugh when I asked that question.
Well, I was drunk in high school. I never finished university. I've never been to university. I never started, never finished. What should I say? Mama was an alcoholic, lived with drug dealers, drug addicts. I had 22 homes before I turned 18. My father was a gangster. He boxed. He was a good boxer. Can you hear it? And they're wondering, why am I meeting with you? And I'm asking myself the same question. What the heck am I doing here? Oh, when will my cover be blown? That I'm a misfit. That I don't belong here. But you see, God brought me to that palace. So this is what I say. Have you heard about the lizard? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28. It says he's so small, he can be catched with a hand. But he is found in king's palaces. And I tell Mr. President, Johannes Amritzer is that lizard. God picked me up with his nail-marked hand off the street as a lizard. And I'm in his hand, and today I happen to be in a palace. And let me remind you, Mr. President, that you are nothing but a lizard in the hand of Jesus. And you don't own this palace. This is owned by someone else. You are borrowing your time on this earth. And then we start to talk. Hey, own who you are. I can't be anything I'm not, right? People told me so many times, oh, you should behave a little better. You shouldn't say those words. You shouldn't. Hey, guys, sorry. Sorry, guys. Not everyone had the privilege of being a third generation Christian. Not everyone grew up under a church pew. Sorry, guys, but I'm just too old, too middle-aged, too settled in my walk with God to even be intimidated by that talk. Are you here? I'm walking with God. I have my life with God. I own who I am. Start to own who you are. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You can ask me whatever question, I will answer straight. You know, are you hearing me today? I don't want to live. No, this is my walk with God. And hey, if I could speak this to you. You know that genuine people walking with God, they will shake a palace. Genuine people walking with God, it doesn't matter if they are mechanics. It doesn't matter what they are. They will shake a palace around them because they are genuine. Don't look down on yourself. Don't degrade yourself. You are the life with God. Hey, don't take this Christianity for granted. Can I say that to you? Please, don't destroy this beautiful thing. You got the same chance as everyone else to walk with God. Oh, I'm on fire. You know, you have this song in America. This girl is on, you know, fire. That's how I feel, but I'm not a girl anyhow. And big goatee, bald-headed. But this guy is on fire. Okay, sorry. Sorry. Guys, listen to me now. I didn't come here to impress on you. I came here to stir you. I came here to create a hunger in you. I came here to tell you, you can walk with God. I don't care if you're a Baptist or a bicyclist or a Methodist, are you hearing me? Or an agnostic or an atheist or a Muslim. I just know God is interested in you. He sent his son for you. He died for you so that you should walk with him and be friends with him. Huh? Let's walk with him. Oh my goodness, I remember John's gospel now. John's gospel chapter 1 says, the disciples heard John the Baptist saying, this is the Lamb of God over there, pointed at Jesus. So they are following Jesus now. The beautiful thing about this story is that they don't know what they want. Okay, let me bring this to you now. Many people, they want God for reasons. But these people, they don't know what they want. So when Jesus turns around and asks them, this is John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 37, and I'm quoting 38. He asks around and he says, so what do you want? I love this. Rabbi, where are you staying? How many of you understand that's a stupid answer? It's a little bit like when you are in love, you know? Maria sat down in the staircase. I still remember like this. Sat down in the staircase. Man, I died. Can I be honest with you guys? I died. She put her cute little face in her hand, hair falling that way. She looked at me and she said, "So what do you really want? Man, where do you live?" I was at her house. How many of you know? You mean, what are you saying right now doesn't really make sense. I know, baby. Just tell me, what do I want? Huh? You want a cup of chocolate? I hated hot chocolate. I drank 3 cups. But I married the girl. Come on, somebody. And when I met with Jesus, I didn't know what I wanted. I can tell you honestly, when they preached the gospel to me, I didn't understand a thing. It didn't make sense. It was not logic. How can God die and then the same God raise this God? Trinity. Virgin birth. Who believes such stuff? But there was just something. It's just something that made me so curious, so hungry, so stirred. So I went after Jesus. "Rabbi, where do you live?" "Come and see," he replied. "Come and see." I want to be like Philip in the book of Acts, flying through time and space. Taken by the Spirit, dropped down in another area. I've accomplished my mission in one place. Taken by the Spirit, go to another area. Oh, if we could live those lives. I never forget, I'm going to land. But I'm enjoying this so much. If you are not enjoying it, I'm enjoying it. You can all just go home. I'll continue to preach for another 2 hours here. That's just how I feel. And hopefully I'm stirring some of you. Do you feel something in here? You feel something in your heart? Last story. I'm praying in a hotel room in Manila, the Philippines. And the Holy Spirit says, "Go down to the Piano Bar and order an espresso." You know, is this really God? For a moment, I thought it was the devil. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. And then I hear the voice again. "Get down to the Piano Bar. Order an espresso." I should be praying now. I'm preaching tonight. I shouldn't be in the Piano Bar. Getting backslidden in these nice hotels. Not good for a missionary. But I get into the elevator and I get down to the Piano Bar. Go in there. Drops down there. On a couch. Order an espresso. The same moment I've ordered the espresso, there's a guy walking in. And he says, "Espresso, huh? Yeah. I love that. I'm from South Austria, the Italian border. Oh, let me have one too." And he sits down next to me. Here it happens. This guy is working with the unreached headhunter tribes in the northern Philippines. Ilonggo, Tsigoro, Tsumagats. And before I knew it, I'm invited. It just happened. You know, we kicked it off. We had chemistry. We shared one or two espressos. We talked. And I ended up with the headhunter tribes. And there was a woman up there who had been blind 24 years that received her sight. And that shook the area so much. Then the deaf started coming. And we started praying for the deaf. And 7 people got their hearing back. And then we planted 3 new churches. And I stood in the river and just baptized and baptized until my arms ached. And then I was invited to the president's palace to top it off. And was at the prayer breakfast with the president. And when I was there at this president's palace, at that time it was Fidel V Ramos. This was back in the 90s. And I said, "Holy Spirit, how did I end up here?" And he answered me immediately. You know, it started with an espresso in the Piano. Let the Holy Spirit break into your schedule. Let the Holy Spirit interrupt you. Please let the Holy Spirit bust your Excel files. Are you here? Your neat, organized life. Are you hearing me? Let the Holy Spirit just come in, destroy it. Huh? And you will have the greatest adventures of your life. Oh, you know, I know my wife had to explain to the kids. My wife had to explain to the kids why daddy was not in bed at 3 a.m. many times. They came in when they were small, you know, came in middle of the night. So where's daddy? He's out walking. So why is he out walking? Well, you know, daddy walks with God. He's out and walks with. So my children talked about that. So does God come here and knock the door at night? Pretty much, I said. I wake up and takes me by the hand.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.